This is Album Worms. It's like a book club, but for albums. I'm Sean.
And I'm Chris. And on this episode, we will be discussing our favorite records from 2021.
Let's get started. Welcome to Album Worms. Welcome to our year wrap-up episode of Album Worms. Please take a moment and subscribe to us wherever you find your podcast and follow us on Instagram at Album Worms. I'm excited to be back here with you again, Chris.
Yes, yes.
This is our second year in review, man.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy. I know it's been, you know, pretty busy and crazy for us the last few months, but you know,
right,
it's always nice to kind of get back and do this.
Absolutely. So I don't know how you feel about the end of the year list that compile all the top albums of the year. Are you a fan, or how do you feel about them?
I mean, it's sometimes I feel they're good. You know, I kind of pay attention to more of the alternative stuff and not really mainstream music these days, but
right.
You know, it's kind of nice to be able to also do something like on your own and pick a, you know, top five of every year. It just kind of gets me back listening to stuff I listen to through the year.
Right. Yeah. It's interesting how all these places like NPR, Pitchfork, Paste, they all come up with their top records of the year. I don't know necessarily how they conclude on that, because it's all opinionated, really.
Yeah,
it's just your opinion. And we're going to do something similar. We'll go through our top five records of the year, but I wouldn't say these are the five best records of the year. I would say these are the five records I enjoyed the most this year.
Definitely. I kind of looked back and was like, all right, what are the five albums I really listened to a lot of? Like, I found myself going back, playing it, and then, you know, maybe a couple weeks later, a month later, going back and playing it again. And that's kind of how I judge, like, my top five albums of just kind of what I've been listening to the most of. You know, obviously with new music in 2021, that's kind of how I was doing it. It was like, oh, I listened to this record quite a bit.
Right. I feel like another good way to judge that is if you want to or have already bought the record on vinyl.
Yep, that's a good one.
Because, let's face it, we can listen to any of this music. We both have Spotify subscriptions because we're music nuts, and
yep.
Spotify is a great way to get new music on the regular, or to just have the deep libraries of music at your fingertips.
Mm-hmm.
But having it on vinyl is still special, and the quality of it, and especially if you have a good record player and speakers, it definitely sounds better than over a streaming service.
Oh yeah. That's kind of the one thing I don't really have right now is a record player setup. Just don't have the room for it. But you know, I miss that sound. I miss having the turntable. And I kind of like that idea. You know, I still collect vinyl here and there, even though I don't have a record player, just because, you know, it's something fun to do. But yeah, I like that idea.
It's a great way to support artists too, because the profit margin on vinyl is so much higher for artists. I think I saw somewhere, I want to say it costs like between $8 to $13 or something like that to produce a vinyl record. And then they sell it for $20 to $30, which is, I don't remember, I don't have it in front of me, but there was like the equivalent of how many streams they would need to get that much profit, and it was a lot.
that's good. I mean, if the artist can get more money, that's great.
Right. So if you enjoy music and want to support artists, that's a great way to do it, is pick up a vinyl copy of some of your favorite records. And if you're on top of it, you can get some cool limited edition vinyl too, which is what I like. I know I got the Nathaniel Rateliff and the Night Sweats, The Future. They had like an indie store exclusive. It was like Black Ice vinyl.
That's cool. I saw that.
Yeah. So I know some purists are not a fan of all the vinyl, all the color vinyl, but I love both. I love the original stuff and I love all the color stuff. It's cool, man.
Oh yeah. I mean, I remember the first vinyl I got was the Highly Refined Pirates by Minus the Bear. And it's like this marbled blue vinyl. It's a really cool color. And that kind of triggered my obsession with collecting this stuff.
Yeah, I love it. I love Record Store Day. I know we talked about that earlier this year. Mm-hmm. So that was fun. Good vibes, good memories throughout the year was one of my highlights. And some of these records that we're going to discuss are some of my highlights too.
Yeah, definitely.
I would have to say, at least for my list, my order, we're going to do it like in order here, 5 to 1. My 5 through 2 could be in any order. They're so close together. It was really hard for me to distinguish one from the other.
Definitely. I feel like my 1 through 5 was just the 5 records I listened to the most.
Yeah.
And I like all of them. You know, some came out just recently, but I found myself listening to them a lot. So,
right.
You know, it's kind of hard to say, you know, I listened to them the most because I didn't really have a whole year to listen to them. But
yeah,
I just, you know, I found myself these 5 really played a lot this year for me.
Cool.
Yeah.
Well, I'm looking forward to hearing your list, Chris. So I guess we can just jump into it. What do you say?
Let's do it.
Cool. All right. So we're going to start with our 5th record. So number 5, what did you have as your 5th record?
My number 5 was Lord Huron, their newest record, Long Lost. Send me to the mountains, let me go free forever. I'll be running through the forest, dancing in the fields like this. And that was the song Long Lost from their new record, which we actually went over, 2 episodes ago? 3 episodes ago, something like that?
Right, yeah. I believe it was beginning of September.
And for me, this band is really special, as you know, just for, you know, how they write music, how they kind of tell a story through their songs. You know, that's kind of why I like them, and I found this record being played a lot. Yeah, how do you feel about it? I mean, I think we have kind of the same opinion on the record.
Yeah, absolutely. I love this record as well. And I'll hold some of my thoughts on this, but because it might show up in my list later. as we did this last year, I mean, we had some crossover as well last year, and we didn't necessarily have it in the same order, but I'll hold my comments on this record for now. But yeah, I love this one. It's a good choice. And I'm actually, what I'll say, I will say now is I am a little bit surprised at this record not getting as much attention in some of these year end lists as I think it should.
Yeah, I kind of felt the same way as I was reading some of them just to get ideas or, you know, it's kind of strange because I know when the record came out, it got really good reviews and people liked it. So it was kind of odd to see it not make a lot of people's lists.
Right. Yeah, I think it's a work of art, and I think it's definitely, I'll say more later.
Yeah. All right. Well, what was your 5th?
My 5th record was Natalie Bergman and her record Mercy.
Nice.
That was her song Talk to the Lord. And this is maybe a little bit different of a pick. It still, I think, fits into the indie folk genre, but it is has Christian lyrics and might fall into the gospel subgenre. But it's an amazing record. I fell in love with it as soon as I heard it. And if you are Christian or looking for Christian music, I think it's easy to say a lot of that music is overproduced and a lot of the modern day Christian music. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it's hard to find that kind of good gel of music. And this one knocked it out of the park for me personally. She and her brother, Elliot, she was in a duo with her brother called Wild Bell, and they came out with 3 albums. This is her first solo record. And yeah, it just has some amazing harmonies on the record. Just a really cool kind of vintage vibe to it.
Yep.
That I really enjoyed. Whether you're Christian or not, it's this good kind of coffee house type vibe music. I like to have it as like background music. And it's great kind of positive messages, obviously, and just having faith. So whether you're a Christian or not, I think this is a good one. Obviously, if you are a Christian, it might speak to you a little bit more.
And that's kind of how I felt when you sent me your list a few days ago. I kind of went through and listened to a little bit of it just to get an idea of it. It was definitely something I could listen to, you know. It doesn't scream religious, you know. And that's nice because a lot of Christian music can kind of right off the bat feel that way. And that might kind of scare people away that aren't really into that stuff or know too much about it. So yeah, it was cool. It was nice to kind of listen to something like that and not really realize right off the bat. So, oh, it's Christian music. It's just, oh, this is good music. This is easy to listen to.
Yeah, some of Christian music is just painfully
in your face.
Just cheesy. Yeah. Maybe is like a better word for me personally. Mm-hmm. And yeah, this is just really classy and subtle. And
she's got a really cool style too.
Yeah, it's really retro cool style that I enjoyed. That was my number 5th pick. Number 5th, that was a really weird way of saying it.
Number 5, number 5th, whatever. We're just going to roll with it here. We keep things, you know, whatever.
Yeah, this is real casual.
Yeah, it's nice, you know? No pressure.
Well, I mean, we talked about this last year too, but when we lived in the same state, we would probably do this in person. So this is really, we don't really get the opportunity to talk about this. So why not record it?
Yeah. Yeah. This is just us talking about it. Really. It's fun.
Yeah.
I enjoy it.
All right. So how about let's go to number 4.
All right. So my number 4 pick was The War on Drugs. And the album is I Don't Live Here Anymore. I'm in a rolling wave. That moves across the line. Am I losing my faith? And the song we just listened to was Harmonia's Dream. I've been a longtime fan of this band. I just enjoy how he creates really beautiful layers to his music, you know, through effects, just an amazing guitar player, amazing. The band plays really well together. And I kind of feel like this album was something you would expect from The War on Drugs. Nothing too out of the ordinary. I just found myself listening to this a lot ever since it came out. Yeah, so that made my number 4.
Yeah, I'm really happy you picked this record because it was one of my honorable mentions. And I remember you sending me the song where Lucis was featured on, which, you know, Lucis is one of my favorite bands, mm-hmm. and they're featured on one of the tracks on this record. My first reaction, though, when I heard that song was, sounds like it would be a perfect 80s sitcom intro song.
Yeah.
So it's kind of got a little bit of that vibe to it. Like, I felt like, which is interesting, like maybe an indie 80s type vibe at times.
Yeah.
And I think it's my favorite release of his that he has put out.
Oh, cool.
And I enjoyed some of his records, but they, for whatever reason, aren't some of his old records. They aren't ones that necessarily stick in my rotation for long, but this record in particular, definitely I keep, have gone back to multiple times. And yeah, I think it's probably my favorite one he's done.
That's cool. Yeah. I like how synthy it is, and there's a lot going on in the songs. It kind of, I don't know, it just kind of mellows me out when I listen to it. You know, it's nothing super crazy. I don't know if you'd call it shoegaze or whatever, but it's just kind of very layered and a lot kind of going on in each song. But yet it's presented really, you know, in kind of just a nice mellow tone. It's just a good rock album. I mean, I don't know, maybe not rock, but I don't know. I just really enjoyed it.
Yeah, I mean, I can see that. There's times where it feels kind of straight up rock, but obviously has some other synth and other influences. It's a lot of a, I feel like it's a good mashup of modern and retro kind of influences.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's good. That's perfect. That's exactly how I would describe this album. So what was your fourth?
So at number four, I had Lump with their record Animal. Deliberate acts of pretension have shackled your arms to the deck. Climb every wall. Climb every wall. And that was probably my favorite song on the record, Climb Every Wall. The album was released back on June 30th. It was the second album from Lump, which is the collaboration of Laura Marling and Mike Lindsay. So obviously we've talked about Laura Marling in the past with her previous solo record, and we talked briefly about Lump. And this was going to be an anticipated record for this year. And for me, it did not disappoint. I enjoyed it even more than their first release, and their first release was great. This kind of has like a folk electronic type of hybrid. And with Laura singing, her voice is so captivating and so rich. And on her solo work, it's beautifully layered over either like usually acoustic guitars or standard, but she had some piano and obviously more layered instrumentation on her latest release. But to have it kind of paired with Mike Lindsay and some of his electronic flavors, I think was a perfect combination and really highlights the best of both of them.
Mm-hmm.
And on top of that, some of these songs are extremely catchy. Climb Every Wall, I think, was, for me personally, one of the catchiest songs and the one that would stick in my head throughout ever since this album was released.
Nice. Yeah, I really enjoyed it too, kind of that synthy. I really enjoyed the mix. And that's kind of why I like doing this, because, you know, you'll have a couple artists that I'm not really familiar with, and I can listen to it and, you know, kind of find out new music this way. It's really cool.
Yeah. This one, and this record had like some ebbs and flows to it too. So like Climb Every Wall, I feel was pretty catchy, a little bit more up tempo. And then there was a little bit more ballad like songs, but not your traditional ballad, because it has that synthy electronic type of mood to it. I felt it definitely it didn't feel like a Laura Marling record, like a solo release. Cause sometimes when you get collaborations, it's like, oh yeah, this is just the same person, maybe just with a few other people. It definitely feels like its own thing. But Laura Marling, I think, really showcases her vocal abilities on this, and the musical pairing makes it quite the soundscape.
Nice.
Cool. Well, should we go to number three?
Let's do it.
Alrighty then.
So my number three had to be on here, as I'm sure you're going to know that I'm going to pick Nathaniel Rateliff and the Night Sweats, their new album, The Future. People don't want to change. Saying love don't treat you like that. Don't tell me I don't know. I know that love. And that was the song Love Don't. And that is probably one of my favorite tracks on the record. Nathaniel's singing on that song is just so raw and crazy. And the whole song is just very upbeat, horns. I mean, I love it. To me, it's kind of one of those Night Sweat songs that you're just like, yes, here it is. A lot of soul, a lot of R&B. And that's kind of how the whole record is for me. I mean, it kind of goes through a lot of different kind of sounds. You know, the first song kind of has a little country vibe to it. And there's some rock songs on here. There's some slow songs. And then the last song's kind of this big song with horns. And Nathaniel just kind of really singing. And I don't know, just a lot of energy in this record. And that's why it made my top three.
And yeah, that last song on there, it kind of does like the song Love Don't has kind of does that fade out. And I just can, I don't know, for some reason when I listen to that song and being at the end of the record, and especially even on vinyl, I can just picture them playing live and just kind of fading into the sunset, like the party's still going, even mm-hmm. though the record's ending.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, the record was great. It was definitely one of my favorites of the year.
Yeah, and once again, no spoilers, but I'm going to maybe hold back a little bit on my comments on that one.
Sounds good. What was your number three?
So at number three, I had Japanese Breakfast and her album Jubilee. Projecting your visions to strangers who feel it. And that was the first track off the record, Paprika. And this is another artist kind of similar to War on Drugs, where I've enjoyed their work, but maybe hasn't really stuck into my rotation as much.
Mm-hmm.
But this is, again, similarly to War on Drugs, this is my favorite release that they've put out. And part of that is due to, so on Michelle Zauner's first two records, that's the person that behind Japanese Breakfast, she was going through a lot. She just lost her mother to cancer on her first two records, and a lot of that was dealing with grief and the pain. So, yeah, maybe those records are not so uplifting, or ones that you would want to circle out back to, but obviously super important. Obviously they've, a lot of other people love those records, and I thought they were great too, but this one stuck with me a little bit longer, and I just really enjoyed the instrumentation on it. Some of the horns and strings that were used, really, I was just delighted by it. It's kind of weird to kind of think back to it, but when there's like a sax solo at one point and an and this is just delightful music. It's just really easy listening. Kind of has at times kind of like a 80s inspired pop type feel to it. Yeah, and then just kind of like a straight ahead indie at other times. And so it kind of blends a lot of styles together. But overall, I think it just has a good vibe, and I just really enjoyed the upbeat nature of it. Mm-hmm. And the kind of like all the songs kind of just have a brightness to it. So I really enjoyed that.
Nice.
Well, with that, why don't we just go jump straight to number two?
All right. So my second, I don't know, may not surprise many people, might surprise some people, but my number two was Turnstile's album Glow On. And that was the song No Surprise. And for me, this band's special because I've been listening to them for a very long time and kind of have really enjoyed listening to the progression of them as being a hardcore band and still kind of each album progressing into something a little different, but still holding on to that, you know, hardcore sound. And this record's just very special because it's so different. But I don't think it's different in too different from what they used to do. It's very kind of almost some of it is psychedelic, and it's really cool to see a band not really care about worrying about what everybody has to say about how they should sound, how they should still sound. They kind of just go make a really good record and say, here it is, enjoy it. And I really enjoyed this record for that. The song I picked was kind of more of a kind of hardcore song. But if you go in, and I know this isn't going to be everybody's cup of tea, but, you know, I just urge some, you know, everybody to kind of just give it a little listen and maybe you'll like it. And, you know, if you don't, that's okay too. But I really enjoyed this album, and that's kind of why I put it at number two, because it's just such a different record for them. And yeah, that's kind of just a fun record. It's a really easy listening record. I'd found myself listening to it all the way through, which I, you know, is hard to do sometimes. So yeah, that's my number two.
Yeah, that's awesome. So this is like a contrast band to me for Lord Huron this year with the top list. And I was one surprised not to see Lord Huron get more recognition, but similarly, I was really surprised at how much recognition Turnstile got, because they were top five, top 10 recognition on some of these big NPR type lists. So I don't think you've ever see any band with hardcore roots make a list like that typically.
No. And that's kind of what was so fun about this record. You know, for me, you know, remember when their first EP came out and how it was just hardcore music. And then to see the progression of them kind of evolve as people, as musicians, into what they are now, it's really cool to see. And it's really cool that a band with hardcore roots kind of get the recognition that I think they deserve. I think they're brilliant. I think this record's brilliant. And it was nice to see.
How do you feel like with the transition? Because I know I used to listen and follow some hardcore acts, but haven't done it as closely in recent years. So I'm curious, because I know back in college, it was very scrutinized if a hardcore band started to get a little bit more into other genres.
Mm-hmm.
It was pretty heavily scrutinized. So how is this kind of received by the hardcore community?
I think I think those purists probably wouldn't like it and would be kind of bummed out that, you know, they're not what they used to be. But as somebody that listens and is a musician, I think musicians want to start evolving their sound at some point, you know? And for them to still hold on to their punk hardcore roots, whatever you want to call it, is pretty cool, but create something different. within that hardcore community. It's still a hardcore record for me. I mean, there's songs like the song we played, No Surprise, that to me is a great hardcore song, you know, and I like to see a band kind of just do what they want and create the music they want. And they're still holding on to that hardcore sound, but they're also kind of adding a new layer. Like, it's very, there was some parts in it where I felt like I was listening to, like, I wanted to be on a beach and just chill and listen to it, you know, had kind of that surf rock feel to it. I don't know. I really enjoyed it. And, you know, I like seeing bands progress and kind of still hold on to what they, you know, used to be, but do something a little different each time.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it does, like, if the guitar, bass, drum, those are very much still the hardcore stylings. But if you didn't listen to hardcore, you wouldn't necessarily think that's hardcore necessarily listening to this record.
Exactly.
But what it personally reminded me of was Incubus's record Science. And if you took out the DJ in that Incubus Science, you don't get any of that on here. But the song Don't Play, the guitar riff, I was like, that is really similar. It reminded me a lot of Certain Shade of Green.
Yeah.
Go listen to those back to back and tell me they're not similar.
Yeah. And honestly, when you said the DJ, like, if they came out with a record with a DJ, that probably would not surprise me. I mean, like, it's just, they have a really good way of blending different music into hardcore, and I think that's cool.
Right. Yeah, I mean, Incubus is known too for kind of progressing and changing as they've gone on, and I think they have maybe, I don't know how we feel about Incubus and some of their new stuff. Yes. But that album Science, I feel like this album is kind of, you know, it's kind of interesting. This kind of remind me maybe a little bit of a tangent, but I remember loving the band Third Eye Blind, and 10 years passed and I would read interviews of bands and how they were inspired by a band like Third Eye Blind, or the album Blue was kind of innovative. And this kind of reminds me of that a little bit, or I had that kind of moment where it, like, Science is old enough where it could start influencing and people going back and kind of feeling like it might be a retro type sound to pull from. I don't know if it was for this band at all, but that's what it kind of pulled away from me.
Yeah. Yeah. It was a great record, and that's it. Definitely worried about, like, oh man, I don't know where to put this, but definitely had to be in my top of the list, 'cause it's just such a great record for me. I found I listened to it a lot.
Definitely. I think that's one to talk about. Maybe that's a one worthy of a full episode one day.
That'd be cool. And like I said, I urge people listening to just give it a try. You know, if it's not your thing, it's not your thing, but at least try it for me. You know, that's because it's a very cool, unique record.
Cool.
Yeah. So what's your two?
So number two, I had Nathaniel Rateliff and the Night Sweats with their album The Future. Face down in the moment, waiting to let go. Face down in the moment, waiting to let go. Keep waiting. Keep waiting. And that was my favorite song off the album, Face Down in the Moment. And we talked about this record on our last episode just a few weeks ago. This is maybe not the record I was expecting next from Nathaniel Rateliff and the Night Sweats, but I sure did enjoy it. And I think what took me a little bit to kind of adjust to on this record is, as we discussed in our last episode, how genre hops a lot. Mm-hmm. And once we kind of landed on, this isn't a single chapter book or a song, every song is going to flow together seamlessly. This is like one chapter the next song's the second chapter.
Yep.
They definitely flow differently. So that took a little bit of getting used to, but the Night Sweats has to be my favorite band that's come together in the last 10 years, I guess. They've almost been together for that long. I think they're just got a great sound, so fun to listen to, amazing live, and I am all in whenever the Night Sweats are putting out music now.
Yeah, me too.
We've talked about Nathaniel Ratliff and the Night Sweats, so go listen to Wrecker, but also go check out our old episodes, and if you're interested in learning more.
Yeah, definitely. We'll go way more in depth into the record, so if you're interested, go give them a listen.
Cool. Well, we got one record left, but before we do that, maybe should we just do some honorable mentions?
Yeah, definitely. I think so. I think it's kind of hard always for me because I love music so much and I'm always constantly listening to different music, different albums, and have a lot of favorites of this year. I think we should pick at least a couple honorable mentions.
Cool. Yeah. Well, what's on your honorable mentions list?
The first one I wanted to mention was, this is going to sound weird and probably out of the, you know, out of left field for me, but it's a group called Silk Sonic, and it's Bruno Mars and Anderson .Paak. They just came out a couple weeks ago.
Oh man.
But this album is cool, man. It's soul music, it's R&B, and it's just a killer. If you want something to listen to and just be in a good mood, put this record on. You'll be happy. I mean, it's got the grooves. Just started.
Yeah, it's like funk, right?
Oh, it's a funk record. It's got some soul, some rhythm and blues. I mean, it's a killer record. It almost probably made my top five.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I highly recommend people listen to it. Like, even just from the first song, it's just called Silk Sonic Intro. It hooked me. And it's one of those records I could listen, start it on the first song and end on the last song and just repeat it.
Yep.
And then one of the other ones that I kind of wanted to mention was from a band. Well, two bands, I'm sorry. Two bands. One of the bands is called Cadaver, and the other one is Elder. And it's called Eldivar. And it's both bands are psych rock, like kind of doomy bands. Maybe not doom, but like heavier. And this album for me is just really cool. Very spacey, very cool, just rock music, like heavier rock music. That was my second one. And it's just kind of cool. It's cool to see two bands kind of come together and create something. You don't see that a whole lot anymore.
No, not at all.
Yeah, no. So that was kind of cool. And I found myself listening to that quite a bit. And that came out early this month. So it's kind of hard. I didn't really want to put it on my top five quite yet, but I wanted to give it a mention.
Yeah.
Cadavers, I think they're from Germany, Berlin, somewhere over there. And then Elder is from the U.S. I don't remember where they're from. But once again, it's just a really good kind of rock album to check out. I highly recommend both of my honorable mentions. And it would probably be on there if I could have made a top 10.
Yeah.
How about you? What are a couple of your honorable mentions?
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of great music this year, but also I think we saw the pandemic kind of effects too. I don't think we saw as many releases this year, and not as many of the heavy hitter releases that maybe Foo Fighters was maybe one of the few heavy hitter bands that release new music this year, or at least that I enjoy personally. But besides that, like Foo Fighters, I thought was a great record that I really enjoyed early on in the year. Big Red Machine, which is Justin Vernon and Aaron Dressner's of Bon Iver and The National. They kind of come together to do this kind of experimental project called Big Red Machine. They've come out with music before. This one, I think, is really great. It probably has my favorite song of the year called Phoenix. It's featuring Robin Pecknold of Fleet Foxes and Anise Mitchell of Bonnie Light Horseman. And such a great song. It probably also has one of my least favorite songs that came out this year, which there's a song. There's actually two songs featuring Taylor Swift. One is fine, but there's another one that I did not personally enjoy. But overall, it has some great features like Shannon Van Etten, Ben Howard, This Is the Kite, Anise Mitchell was across multiple ones. So it's a really cool record. But yeah, it was, I could have done without the Taylor Swift in there. Faye Webster's new record that came out this year, what I really enjoyed too. She's got a really cool vibe. We talked about Julian Baker earlier this year. That was another great one. And what else is there? I mean, there was, I enjoyed Fruit Bats, Lowland Hum, Lane Hard Slim.
Yeah.
The Antlers, The Weather Station. Yeah, I mean, could keep going. But Trey Burt, which made my list last year, he came out with another record this year that was also great.
Yeah.
So, yeah, man.
Yeah.
That's just a handful of them. This is like one of the reasons why I like to do this podcast. I think one of my greatest joys in the world is to turn people onto new music.
Mm-hmm.
And hopefully maybe there's a artist that you haven't heard of before. You should go check them out from our conversation. And yeah, also follow us on Instagram or hit us up if you ever want to listen to something new. We're always ready for with the recommendations.
Yeah.
And we also will take recommendations. You have a band to check out, we're all for that as well.
Yeah. I always enjoy listening to new music.
Well, let's go to number one.
All right. Well, okay. So this, my number one, I just came across not too long ago, is from a band called Doom's Children, and it's their self-titled album. And that was the song called Flower Moon. And it features the singer of Gallows, Wade McNeil, who also was in Alexis on Fire. As I was listening to it, it's kind of got some country vibe to it, some kind of psychedelic rock. For the most part, I feel like it's just kind of almost just like a rock album. You know, maybe a lot of influences that he's been influenced in kind of show up. And the song structures are really catchy and really good. The lyrics are heavy, light, really, you know, kind of all over the place on this record. Definitely something I kind of recommend for people to check out. Way different than what he's normally known for, which is kind of cool. So yeah, that kind of made my top of this year.
Yeah, and so he was a guitar player in Alexis on Fire, right?
Yes.
Yeah, it's good. And so if that name sounds somewhat familiar to some of our listeners, Dallas Green is the lead singer of Alexis on Fire, who is also maybe now more well known for his group City and Color.
Yep. So that was kind of cool to come, and I honestly stumbled across Doom's Children, and I'm really happy I did, because it was kind of a cool, refreshing album that I was just, oh wow, I had no idea this was even supposed to come out. And it was definitely, in the last few weeks, something I've been heavy rotation and have really been enjoying.
Yeah, some crazy guitar work on
that one. Some very good guitar work on that album. That's kind of why I I put that at number one because I was just really into it and kind of came out of nowhere for me and ended up being something I've really enjoyed.
Awesome.
Yeah. So what's your number one?
So process of elimination here. So my number one record is Lord Huron and their album Long Last. If you ever want to see my face again, I want to know. If you ever get lonely, please let me know. And that was their song, Mine Forever. And this record is number one on my list simply because I think it was hands down the most creative record that was produced this year. The concept behind this record, how they record it in their normal recording studio called Whispering Pines, has kind of got this 1960s retro vibe to it and some of the original equipment with some obviously modernizations. But they took that inspiration and basically created a story behind it and acted like the studio was haunted. They had this guy narrating the record, and each song was like a different act in a variety, this vintage variety show.
Oh, it's so good.
It was amazing. I mean, it's definitely, I think, a Western opera.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Orchestra. I don't know.
It's just a really good piece of, I think it transcends just like your traditional song. I think it's just a piece of art.
Yeah, it's very Americana. It's got a lot of things going on that just kind of make me think of like Westerns, or it's so well done. It just kind of it's one of those albums I put on and I just relax to.
Yeah, I mean, I love a lot of the songs on here, but maybe it doesn't have the standout tracks or the radio playable tracks as much, but as a whole, or I mean, in my opinion, the best record as a whole, it really plays really well. I mean, it kind of begs to be listened to from start to finish.
Yeah, I totally agree.
On top of that, I mean, it has some great, I mean, I think Mine Forever was probably my favorite song on that record. It has some great vibes to it. Super listenable, kind of Western. It kind of has like a surf, like a guitar tone to that song as well. And that intro and some of the kind of like Beach Boy type influence with the Western.
Yeah.
And the indie folk Americana. Just so well done. And probably also, in my opinion, probably the best ballad and duet of the year too, with the song I Lied.
Oh, it's a great song.
All in all, that was my favorite record of the year. Just really masterfully done, and it deserves more credit than it's currently getting, in my opinion, in these end of the year lists.
I would agree.
But with all that said, all these lists, it's just a great way to discover new music, right?
Oh, definitely.
Let's not take this the ranking too seriously. We're all music fans, and this is just a great way to talk about some music and either appreciate the music and the artists that have brought us joy throughout the year or have been with us in those hard times and helped us through hard times. The highs and lows, the music is always there for you.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You know, it's always something I lean on when I'm not feeling good or I'm bummed out about something. I can just put something on and just kind of zone out and not think about what's bugging me. You know, and that's what this is all about, is finding things that we like listening to and, you know, finding an album that we like. You know, my list is something I like. You know, I encourage people to listen to the albums on my top five and, you know, at least give it a listen. If it's not your thing, then, you know, you tried it and that's cool. You know, you gave something new a chance, and, you know, maybe you find something on here that you really enjoy and that can open up a whole different world to you, you know, and that's what I love about music.
Yeah. Sometimes it's maybe not that band in particular, but maybe that leads to your favorite, your new favorite band yeah. from listening to one artist. So you learn about another artist. It's all like a spider web interlocking everything together.
Yeah.
So yeah, I guess thanks for chatting with me about this.
Oh yeah. I always have fun doing these lists. It's always kind of fun to go back and think about the bands that had come out this year and go back and listen to some of it. And then you find, you know, the ones you've been listening to a lot this year. And it, you know, that's always fun for me. I'm glad we did this one.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm glad we were able to get it together, and always fun to talk music with you, my good friend.
Yes, likewise.
We will be back next year with more episodes of Album Worms. But until then, I'm Sean.
And I'm Chris.
And we're Album Worms.